Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Elbit Vision Systems' second quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact EVS's Investor Relations team at GK Investor and Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.evs.co.il. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to EVS second quarter 2017 conference call. I would like to welcome all of you to the conference call, and I would like to thank EVS management for hosting this call. Before we start, I'd like to point out that this conference call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and EVS cannot guarantee that they will in fact occur. EVS does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of EVS industry, as well as other risks identified in the document filed with the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. With us on the call today are Sam Cohen, the CEO, and Yaron Menashe, the CFO. Sam will start by discussing some of the key highlights of the second quarter, while Yaron will summarize some of the financial highlights of the second quarter. After this, we'll open the call for the question-and-answer session. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Sam Cohen, EVS CEO. Sam, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Ehud. I'd like to welcome all of you to our conference call, and thank you for your continued interest in our company. While we have seen a drop in our current backlog, we are extremely excited about the business we see in our near future. Over the past few weeks, we have seen a significant increase in orders from Europe, and I've just returned from an extensive stay in the U.S., where I met with multiple top managers of many manufacturers. These current potential customers each assured me that business is coming in the near future. From these discussions, we know that we are at the final stages of the sales process in a number of accounts globally and look forward to bringing our backlog back in line. Our backlog decrease is primarily driven by delay in capital spending from a few large orders in the U.S. and a softer-than-expected market in China. We understand what is needed and are implementing the necessary corrective action. We have continued to make significant improvements to our products and have added features that will benefit our customers. Our efforts in software enhancements have begun to show significant momentum in our market by giving our customer base a strong, stable operating system with much-needed tools and features to expedite their return on investment. We've continued to pursue upgrades to our solutions that boost performance, lower cost, and provide customers with necessary automation to grow and thrive in today's market. We have spent time and resources over the past several months improving and refining our eyeball product. Each of the upgrades and revisions will enable us to make the product significantly more attractive from a return on investment perspective and will help advance our sales and marketing strategy. We currently have multiple customers with over 20 units installed, as well as one customer with nearly 80 units. In total, we have about 250 units running in production as of today. However, given the quality of land orders we have closed in the last few weeks, we believe this number will grow significantly in the upcoming quarters. Obviously, the eyeball sales have not progressed on the timeline we originally expected, but over the past 2 years, we have acquired a vast amount of knowledge regarding how to better promote the product. Despite the delays, we do see a high level of interest from all the players in our market, and this will eventually lead to increased orders, momentum, and size. Just to summarize, as we closed the first half of 2017, we feel very optimistic about the future of EBS. The decrease in our backlog has been offset by the positive momentum we have seen recently in our sales activity. Our commitment to the complete automation of the textile market and to create global quality standardization has not changed, though we continue to build toward the full potential of the IBAR. We have never felt more confident in our future. And with that, I would like to hand over to Yaron Menashe, our CFO. Yaron, go ahead.
Thank you, Sam. Revenue for the second quarter of 2017 was $2.3 million compared with $2.6 million in the second quarter of last year and $2.5 million in the previous quarter. Second quarter gross profit was $1.3 million, an 8% reduction compared with last year with gross margin of 55.9%. Operating income in the second quarter of 2017 was $427,000 versus $630,000 in the second quarter of last year. Our operating margin was 18.7% compared with 24.7% last year. Our OPEX was higher in the second quarter, primarily due to a higher level of R&D expenses. We expect R&D to remain at this level for the remaining of the year, and we expect to increase marketing and sales toward the end of the year. Net income for the second quarter of 2017 was $396,000 compared with $587,000 in the second quarter of last year. Our net margin was 17.4% compared with 23% in the second quarter of last year. Our diluted EPS was 4 cents versus 6 cents last year. Cash and cash equivalent and short-term deposits as of June 30, 2017 were 4.3 million compared with 4.5 million as of December last year. As of June end, our shareholder equity strongly improved and stood at $6.7 million from $5.8 million reported at the end of last year. And with that, we would be happy to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Michael Bursick of National Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, I missed the first couple of minutes from the call. But I do have a bunch of questions. You mentioned some large U.S. orders that you expected to close in the first half that didn't. Have they started closing in this quarter, or what's the status of that?
In the last few weeks, I was in the U.S. and met with all of them, and we did have some delays. It's difficult to predict, but the customers, assured me that business is coming, it should come, and that's it. I cannot really tell you, some customers can say, okay, it's coming and it's going to take 3 months, some customers it will take 3 weeks. It's very difficult to predict, but I don't feel like we are missing anything, or I think that these are internal processes inside the organization.
Got it. Thank you. This may also be too hard to answer, but do you expect the year-end revenues to be higher than last year, or lower, or flat, or can you have any insight into that yet, or is it too early?
It is too early. It's hard to predict. We're working hard globally, Europe, Asia, and North America. It's very difficult to predict. It can be flat, it can be a little bit lower, it can be much higher. It really depends what's going to happen in the next few months. But as I said in the conference, we are very focused. We feel very strong about our business. Our business model didn't change. I don't see anything that fundamental change what we are doing. That's it. You know, it's a small company. May happen that, you know, one quarter here, one quarter there. If you miss one or two deals that were louder than $500,000, you may have fluctuations in your results. And that's exactly what happened.
Great. Finally, any sort of sense you can give us on possibly a listing on a major exchange? Because we have a lot of problems here in the U.S. not being able to buy the stock. Is there any sort of time frame you can sort of give or a little bit of color on that?
Okay, I don't know of any problem that you may have being on the OTC. However, you know, we don't have any timeline. It's in our to-do list. We're looking for the right timing to do that. And up until now, it wasn't the right time to do this. So, but we're preparing everything. You know, we did some reverse splitting a few months ago. So, you know, everything is getting ready. It's just technicality at this point. So, saying that, it's just timing. When we feel this is the right timing, we will do it.
Okay. Is there a chance it could happen this year, or is that out of the question?
There is always a chance. There's always a chance.
All right. Finally, on the cash balance, if that keeps growing, is there any sense of maybe a special dividend or anything like that?
Could you repeat that? I didn't understand.
Oh, regarding the cash balance, if that keeps growing, is there any thought of paying a special dividend or something like that?
You know, everything is on the table. I cannot say it's not, but you know, this is not something that we are planning in the next few quarters.
Great.
We are investing back all the money back to the company.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Tomer Cohen of Five Roads Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom.
My first question has to do with the next generation of the iBar. I'm curious if you'd give us an update when you think you'll be able to launch that.
I cannot give you an update. I will say that we are working very hard on all aspects, hardware, software, mechanics, everything on this project. But I cannot give you any indication at this point.
I see. Okay. And then as far as your competitive position...
Just a second. I must add another thing here. I was in an exhibition in May in Frankfurt, and in that exhibition I realized that everybody are watching and listening and reading and following EVS to everything. I mean, to the details, and it's very difficult for us to expose any information at this point, as far as, you know, when we're going to launch it, what's the status, what it's going to contain, because competitors, customers, partners, you know, companies that produce weaving machines, all kinds of companies are watching EVS and watching every step, so we need to be very careful on what we are saying or writing in our PRs and conference calls. So I would like to apologize in advance, because, you know, meeting with all these guys and they telling me, okay, we're following this, we read that, it's very critical for us now to be very careful.
That makes sense. I understand that. Could you walk me through, you mentioned that your sales and marketing expense would increase. Is that because you're expecting to hire new salespeople?
Yes, basically EBS now spending more money in sales and marketing, business development, and R&D. That's what we're doing right now. Right now, we feel this is the bottleneck, starting with R&D. I can tell you that R&D is something that is very critical to keep us with the advantage, the technical and technological advantages that we have. And following that, we are going to spend more money in sales and marketing, distribution channels, and so on.
Okay. As far as new salespeople, could you walk me through, are these people who are going to be out at customer sites helping with integration, or are they going to be chasing entirely new customers? Where do you think they'll sit in the sales cycle?
Both, but chasing new customers, chasing customers in general, mainly in Asia and North America.
Thanks. And then my last question has to do, or you know what? Actually, I'll jump back in line and I'll ask my other questions later. Thanks.
No problem.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Jason Hartman. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I was wondering if you could comment a little bit more on the market conditions in China, whether these factors are affecting just your company, or are there conditions that are affecting a number of your competitors and sort of the textile industry overall in China? Thank you.
Well, we don't feel that we don't know exactly what's happening with competition in China at this point. We are following, you know, other companies, and I don't know if it's impact if other similar companies to EVS, capital equipment to the textile industry companies, have an impact at this point. We don't know. We know that for EVS, we have seen drop, soften in getting new orders. We worked hard to really understand what happened there. It's a combination of culture. It's a combination of them understanding how to implement our system and the cycle of getting repeat orders from Chinese customers. So the answer is we know what happened in EVS. We hope we know what happened in EVS, and we already started to implement a correction action. You know, this is the answer. I don't really know of any competition, real competition in China. You know, many customers say, Sam, during the negotiation that they are talking to competition. Almost everyone in China telling us this. We have some competition in non-woven, some competition in film application, but we really don't have any competition in textile.
Okay, that's, you know, I appreciate the additional color on that. And you did mention that you were making a correction. Is that just in terms of changing your sales approach, or is it is also in terms of pricing? I'm just wondering if you could comment on whether your pricing has received any, like some additional pressure than usual, let's say in China or in any other markets.
You know, we definitely feel that the pricing strategy in China, only in IBAR, was not the correct one. We started a very high price, and we feel today that, at least in China, it wasn't the correct approach or the correct strategy. So this is something that we implemented a few weeks ago, even, you know, 2 months ago. But it also takes time for us to go and meet with these customers, explain that, okay, we improved our production, we improved our purchasing, all kind of things. We improved our product so we can sell it now in lower cost. And, you know, they will accept it very openly and positively. I'm pretty sure about it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your answers.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Tomer Cohen of Five Roads Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm just curious if you could update us on your competitive positioning. I know you've talked a little, you've told investors about companies that are further along and have products, but I'm curious if you could talk about people who are startups, if there's anybody coming into this space that's innovating that you think might affect you.
I mentioned before that we had a very important exhibition in May, Tech Textile in Frankfurt, Technical Textile Exhibition, one of the largest, if not the largest, in textile. This was a great exhibition for EVS, and we also believe, just as a side note, that the first quarter wasn't so strong in Europe, mainly because of that. People waited for this exhibition, but immediately after that, we picked up many, many orders from Europe. We have seen three competitors over there in that exhibition. All of them were, you know, in really early stages. As far as the IT techs, you can see that there are some people that presented a machine vision that was in okay situation, I would say, probably maybe two years. We are 2 years ahead of them based on what we have seen. They don't have good experience, and they don't have a large customer base and installation base like we do. As far as shade variation analyzer, we didn't see anything with shade variation analyzer. And IVAR, I would say that what we have seen over there is really in a mock-up stage. And this is one of the reasons, I mean, one of the competitors shows something mechanically look similar to what we have, mechanically. But definitely from the inside, it looks far, far away from what we currently have and what we were able to generate. So this is like I said before, it is very important that we will keep the cards close to our chest, not to talk too much about it. But we feel, even after this exhibition, we feel like we are at least 2 or 3 years ahead of all the competitors.
Great, that's helpful. Keep up the good work, and you know, hopefully the quarters to come will yield all the fruits of your hard work.
Thank you.
There's a follow-up question from Michael Bursick of National Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just as an aside on the listing thing, I used to be at Oppenheimer & Company, and they would definitely not let us recommend anything that was not listed on the main exchanges. Here at National, it's similar and probably a little bit more stringent. But my question is regarding competition, do you have any sort of intellectual property sort of safeguards or anything like that that can extend your time in the lead?
Yes, we do have a patent on the IVAR. And if you go into details with this patent, you will see that this is really a strong patent that blocks anybody else to do what we are doing over there. I mean, there's something there that address a real strong issue with questionable defects, which is the biggest problem. You know, if you have a hole in the fabric, that's not a questionable defect, that's a defect. But if you have something related to density and stuff like this, this is questionable. It depends on the application. And the patent that we have addressed exactly this issue. And without it, you cannot, you simply cannot have a system. You cannot really have a machine And on the other side, if you have this, then you can really standardize the weaving process. And that's the direction we are taking.
Great. Thank you very much again.
You're welcome.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Cohen to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available tomorrow on Elbit Vision Systems' website, www.evs.co.il. Mr. Cohen, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, thank you. And on behalf of the management of EVS, I would like to thank you for joining us today. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Vision Systems second quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.